From the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. The Juneau School District Board of Education is considering giving more than $1 million, earmarked for childcare, back to the city at its regular meeting tomorrow. The money was left over after the district ended its after-school relationships and leadership learning for youth program, known as Rally, last summer. Private childcare provider Auk Lake Preschool is now running a new program called Auk Lake Rally, except instead of operating at 4 neighborhood elementary schools like the district did last school year, it's at 3. The district is still paying to bus students from schools that don't have the new Rally program to schools that do. At the school board's October meeting, members discussed the possibility of using some of the leftover funds to pay for some bus transportation to go to Auk Lake Rally sites instead. The district's chief financial officer said last month she could look into the feasibility of doing that. The school board will also decide on its six-year capital improvement plan at Tuesday's school board meeting. The proposed plan outlines the deferred maintenance and capital projects the district is prioritizing and requesting funding for over the next six fiscal years. The board meets tomorrow at the Thunder Mountain Middle School Library. The board will have a work session at 4:30 to discuss its new strategic plan draft before holding its regular meeting at 6 p.m. Attendees can sign up to testify in person on a sheet provided by the district before the meeting begins, but anyone can provide public comment when prompted during the meeting. The longest government shutdown in U.S. history came to an end last week. That paved the way for federal employees to return to their posts, including many in Alaska's capital city. But as KTOO's Alex Solomon reports, reopening isn't necessarily a smooth process, and some agency workers are frustrated.
After 43 days without work or pay, Don McDougall heard from his boss Wednesday evening telling him to come back to the office the next morning.
It was a text message from the supervisor.
Walking out of the federal building downtown on Friday afternoon, he says it felt strange to not work for that long, knowing that eventually he'll get paid for that lost time.
It seems kind of senseless.
McDougall is a program coordinator at the U.S. Forest Service. He works on projects involving workforce development, volunteers, and recreation in Alaska. And now he says he has hundreds of emails to sift through.
It's just been a frustrating time.
Eric Antrim says reopening has been disorganized. He manages bridge inspections in Alaska's national forests, and he's involved with his local union. He says some furloughed employees, not knowing how long the shutdown would last, left town and weren't available to return on such short notice.
People are everywhere. One of my colleagues is in Antarctica right now, and it was just sort of like last minute.
But Antrim says leadership in his office is being flexible as workers come back. He spent part of his unpaid furlough organizing free lunches for federal workers. Now, he says he's expecting a paycheck within the next week.
You know, whenever that comes through, I should get one giant lump sum payment for, you know, three pay periods at the same time, basically.
In 2019, Congress passed a law that guarantees back pay for federal workers as soon as possible after a government shutdown ends. And the bill Congress passed Wednesday affirms that guarantee, despite comments that President Trump made last month. Back at the federal building, as workers return from lunch, Jamie Roundtree says she was mandated to work without pay during the shutdown. But she says that wasn't the case for everyone in her department at U.S. Customs and Border Protection.
So there are a handful of us that weren't getting paid while we were sitting in an office watching others get paid. Humiliating, disrespectful, unfair.
She's an agriculture specialist officer and says that she had to stay at her post because it's considered essential for national security. Roundtree processes people coming in on mining barges, cruise ships, and aircraft who intend to stay in the U.S. She says she feels unsure about the future.
You just don't know. You know what I mean? I mean, there's things happening nowadays that you never thought would happen.
In Juneau, I'm Alex Solomon.
And two landslides took out Juneau's popular Auk Lake Trail in September, causing the city to close it to the public. Now, as trail workers repair it with chainsaws and gravel, they say it's an example of climate impacts on trails they've been seeing more frequently in recent years. KTOO's Alex Solomon brings us a story from the slide zone.
A trail coordinator rips through a fallen tree blocking Auk Lake Trail, where it's been washed out by two landslides. It's a flat trail that follows the contour of the lake, next to the University of Alaska Southeast campus.
You know, we saw footsteps as we were going. People are already still using this trail.
That's Megan Tabachek. She's the executive director of Trail Mix, a nonprofit that maintains more than 200 miles of trails in Juneau. The slides occurred during an atmospheric river in late September, and the trail has been closed since.
So our goal is now to make it, one, fully reopened so we can get the trail closed signs down, and two, at least passable. And our first step to passability is using these chainsaws right here to clear all the logs.
They'll push those logs into the lake. Nick Marinelli is a trail coordinator for Trail Mix. He paces the length of both slides, which are about 50 feet apart, and estimates that about 150 feet of trail washed out altogether. He says he's noticed landslides affecting popular Juneau trails more frequently in recent years.
It seems like with those heavier storm events that happen in September and October, there's more material coming down.
Tabachek says that has factored into how Trail Mix plans maintenance.
You know, especially over the past 5 years, as climate-related disturbances to trails become a little more frequent, we've just started having to budget our time a little bit different.
She says that Trail Mix now sets aside 5 to 8 weeks each year to handle this extra work. Once they clear the logs, Tabachek says they plan to rebuild those sections of the trail this week.
So a lot of that is just going to be pushing dirt around.
They'll layer some gravel on top and build retaining walls. In the spring, she says they'll probably come back and add moss to the bare soil on the lake side of the trail. And they might stick blueberry and Devil's Club starts on the upward slope.
But honestly, Southeast kind of takes care of the re-veg pretty fast every year.
Although the landslide shoots seem stable now, she says some trees are loosely attached, and a storm could cause further slides.
Especially on days where you're getting more than half an inch or a full inch of rain.
Mark Wheeler is the city's director of parks and recreation. He says residents should always consider the hazards when heading outdoors.
Like with all of our trails, we just have people use their best judgment. You're kind of using our trails at your own risk.
Juneau recreators can fill out a damage report on the Trail Mix website if they encounter fallen trees or landslides blocking trails. Trail Mix hopes to reopen Auk Lake Trail at the end of this week. In Juneau, I'm Alex Solomon.
And earlier this year, a killer whale totem pole was raised in Angoon. It's part of a long legacy of Kutia that have stood next to a clan house there. The clan house leader shared the history of those poles and the people who helped raise and lower them over the years at a lecture in Juneau on Wednesday. It was part of a Sealaska Heritage Institute series celebrating Native American Heritage Month. Addressing an audience in the clan house inside the Walter Sobloff building in Juneau, Shkendu Ton George laid out the history of 3 killer whale totem poles that have stood next to her clan house in Angoon. The latest was raised in August. For George, the history of the killer whale tooth clan house and its kutia, or totem poles, are intertwined with her own personal history. She was 9 years old when they raised a second pole commemorating the 100th anniversary of when the U.S. Navy attacked the village of Angoon.
This picture is going to make me cry. This is my dad on top of the forklift helping place the killer whale as it goes onto the post. And this is me and my mom looking out the window.
The 1882 bombardment destroyed the village, its clan houses, canoes, and food supplies, just before winter set in. 6 children died. The memorial kutia depicted a black and white killer whale sitting on a tall stand. Master carver Wayne Price carved it at Angoon High School. It replaced a similar pole that stood next to the house and was laid down before George was born.
Before I spent the rest of my life after that growing up with this totem pole next to our house.
And at age 2, she shows a photo of the same pole with all of its paint worn away.
And this is where, you know, it kind of ended up. Weathered and worn and moss growing on it.
When kutia begin to disintegrate, that's considered part of their life cycle, and they're taken down and laid to rest. That second pole also had to be laid down in 2010. George led that process. The pole was laid to rest like a clan member. It was cremated. Over the last decade, George also reconstructed the clan house that she grew up in and continues to live in each summer with her family. And earlier this year, the newest killer whale, Kutia, carved by Joe Zuboff, was raised with the help of the people and their descendants who participated in the raising and lowering of its predecessor.
One of the things that is really important to me in the raising of this most recent pole is to really be really thoughtful in thinking about continuity and really connecting with the past and bringing that forward into the future.
And now that the kutia is standing and the house is restored, George has time to reflect on her experience.
I was thinking, you know, that was probably the biggest thing that I will ever be directly a part of, like, in my life. I can't imagine that there would be anything else.
SHI President Rosita Worrell attended the lecture and applauded George and her community for the legacy they have carried forward.
Look at the knowledge that you have. Look at the practices that you can do. You know, just warms my heart to see that Angoon has been the center and the stronghold of our culture.
Last fall, the U.S. Navy issued a formal apology for the bombardment of Angoon after clan leaders and Worrell herself spent decades asking for one. In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumery. And the final lecture in the series is tomorrow at noon at the Walter Soboloff Building in Juneau. It will also be live-streamed on SHI's YouTube channel. And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's currently 36 degrees and raining this afternoon. We're expected to get some more heavy rain later today and tonight with a low of 34 degrees. Tomorrow, we're expected to get more of that rain and snow mix we've been getting over the past couple of days. But the rain might taper off a little bit tomorrow night. And sunset was at 3:30 this afternoon. And sunrise tomorrow is a little bit after 7:50. We're getting less than 8 hours of daylight a day these days. This has been a news update from KTOO.